podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
It's been the Hebrew series, and so this morning I'm going to teach. I enjoy preaching, and I love the art of preaching, and I feel like I'm kind of right down the middle. When I was younger and started discovering my passion for ministry and passion for communicating the Word of God, I always kind of erred on the side of being a preachy preacher, right? Like just getting amped up and all of that. And it wasn't until a couple years ago that I discovered I really have a love for teaching and breaking down the Word. And I've had the privilege of speaking and communicating, teaching our gap year students as well as our summer intern experience students. And so it's really unlocked this passion inside of me that I didn't realize was there before. And so this morning, I'm going to err on the side of teaching. I'm also going to give you a resource if you want to pull out your phones or if you're taking notes, however you're doing that. I would encourage you, as any Christian, as any Christ follower, grab this resource. It's available online at Amazon. It is what I teach our Foundations of Christian Doctrine class. It's the resource that we use. And the name of the book is Foundations of Christian Doctrine. It's gold. It is a game changer. It gives you a lot of why behind the what, the things that we believe, the things that, the church hasn't even been teaching in forever. I feel like Sunday school was such a valuable thing that we have kind of walked away from in so many ways. And so it just gives you the depth. So the Foundation of Christian Doctrine, it was written by the late Kevin Connor, and he was a genius when it came to the things of God. And so I would encourage you, read it, dissect it, chew on it. A lot of what I will be communicating this morning comes straight from that book, so I didn't want to rewrite anything. I think if something's good, then why try to change it? And so a lot of my notes this morning will come straight from that. So I do want to jump in. I'm going to read two scripture verses to begin with, and the first one you've actually already heard this morning is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and today, oh, y'all heard it this morning. You memorized it already. Was that Kathy? Of course you memorized it. She's so good. All right, so Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I could get off the platform and we could have had church just on that verse alone. That God is unchanging, truth is unchanging, He is stability, He is foundational, He is unwavering, He is unmoved. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And then the next scripture verse that I want to read is in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. I'm going to read out of the Message version. And I love reading different versions of the Bible and comparing them and kind of opening my mind to just a different viewpoint. I focus mainly on NIV. But this morning, for the sake of illustration, I want to read from the Message. So again, that's Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27 from the Message version. It says, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build your life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and you don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter." Wow, they're just keeping it real in this version. "If you just use my words in Bible studies is a good thing. Coming together for church is a good thing. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards." So this morning, for just a brief time, I want to speak to you on the subject of the importance of a foundation. The importance of a foundation. Many of you would relate to that verse if you were building your dream home. I don't know about you, but I would want to, I would look at reviews and see who the best carpenter was, right? If it was getting a one-star review and the comment was they finished the work really quick and my house fell apart, I'm not going to try to save money and go to that carpenter, right? I want somebody that does quality work, that knows how to build a firm foundation, that creates stability and looks at every intricate detail. I think it's funny that oftentimes we, as the body of Christ, we care about what the outside looks like, but we sometimes abandon the importance of what the inside looks like. And just like if I were to build a dream home and I said, you know what, I'm trying to pinch pennies. You know what, the foundation, nobody really sees that anyway, so you can just kind of, you know, cut corners there. How stupid would that be? Because it doesn't matter what I built on the outside. If the underneath, if the foundation has issues, everything else will have issues as well. I want to take you, switch gears for a second. I want to take you back to like elementary school. For some of us, that hasn't been that long. For some of us, you're going to need a second. And I applaud you, and I think you're awesome. All right, so we all had that age-old question asked to us at some point in our life. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want you to think back, and I'm a interactive type communicator. I want to actually hear from you. Perhaps you were actually doing what you wanted to be when you grew up. Maybe your dreams and life changed, or maybe you just were like, I don't even know why I thought that. Whether you landed in that dream or not, I want you to think back, and I want you to tell me, go on and shout it out, what was it you wanted to be when you grew up? A lawyer, an astronaut, a teacher. A clown? That's amazing. I hope that you pursued that. I would love that. All right, somebody else. A doctor. Veterinarian. I did too. I always wanted to be a vet. All right, over here. Thank you. Actor. I was like, great dreams and aspirations. Awesome. Actor. I heard in the first service, Pastor Gilbert wanted to be a dentist. So I had never heard that before from him. So here's where I think we do a disjustice to like growing up and becoming who God's called us to be. I am by no means against having dreams and thinking about what career you want to pursue and what title you want to have on your desk and where you want to go to college and all. I think all that is amazing. But where I think we miss the mark is that we often put in front of our minds and with our children or whoever it is, we're saying, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? What job do you want? And we often forsake who do you want to be when you grow up? Do you want to be a person of integrity? Do you want to be a person of truth? Do you want to be a loyal person? Like, who is it on the inside that you want to be that will ultimately affect the thing that you do on the outside? And again, I'm not against that. I mean, I would ask my goddaughter, what do you want to be when you grow up? But more than that, I want to drill inside of her mind, who do you want to be when you grow up? Because we all have big dreams, and maybe for you it's been a while since you have had big dreams for your life, and I hope today sparks some motivation and some just inspiration to begin to dream big again when you realize who God's called you to be. But I think it's important to note that if we want to build high, if we want our life to be effective, if we want our life to mean something, if we want to become all that God's called us to be, if we want to build high, we must first dig deep. If we want to build high, we must first dig deep. So I started thinking as I was preparing to teach this in our Foundations of Christian Doctrine class to the interns. Recently, I was like, man, I've never really thought about what is the tallest building in the world. Perhaps you already know the answer to that. Some of you are pulling out your smartphones and you're Googling it because you want to know it before I say it. I'm going to beat you to it. It's the Burj Khalifa. It's also known as the Burj Dubai. And I've heard our First Lady, Pastor Mona, has actually been there. I didn't know that till after the service as well. The Burj Khalifa is currently the world's tallest building. Now, the Jeddah Tower in Saudi Arabia is currently being built right now, and it's supposed to launch in 2020. But as of right now, the Burj Khalifa is the tallest building in the world. So I want to give you a couple facts about it. It stands over 828 meters high. To translate for you, that's 2,716.5 feet. That's really high. That has it has 160 stories. Over 45,000 meters of concrete, weighing more than 110,000 tons, were used to construct the concrete and steel foundation. Just the foundation. And in that foundation, it features 192 piles buried more than 50 meters deep. 45,000 meters of concrete. That meant nothing to me when I read it because I was like, I don't know what that translates to. Thank God for illustration. That translates to 18 Olympic-sized swimming pools. Just the foundation. Just to hold that baby up. 18 Olympic-sized swimming pools. However, there is another contender for the world's tallest structure that is also currently being built right now, and it holds the title, or the name of it is Dubai Creek Tower. The Dubai Creek Tower. So whereas the Burj Dubai stands at over 2,716 feet high, the Dubai Tower stands at 4,266 feet. It's contending for the tallest structure in the world. And we're going to watch a video on what went into the foundation of building this structure. Wow. What a mission, right? What a huge project. Who in here would actually say, I would love to go inside and go up to as tall, as high as you can? Who is that in the back? Desiree? Of course that would be you. Awesome. All right, Bill, you would like to go to the top two? Okay, so say I'm blessed. I send you to a trip to Dubai. You and Jess are going. Jess, are you going up to the top two? She's going to hang outside. You're going to go to the top. So I'm going to send you to Dubai, and you're going to go to the Dubai Creek Tower. You're excited, and you're going up. You've got anointing oil on just because you're scared a little bit. Of course, Jessica's prayed for you because she would. And what if you stepped into the tower, and I said, oh, by the way, isn't this beautiful? Isn't this amazing? You said, yes, I've never seen anything like it. And I said, you should see the foundation. It's so funny. We did all the work on the outside, but we put straw on the underneath. It's just straw. That's all. Just a couple 2x4s, you know, just to hopefully stabilize it. Would you still be interested in going to the top? No. If I were you and Jess, I would already be back in the U.S., right? I'm not even going to be anywhere near that tower. It's a whole message in itself. I don't have time to preach today. I'm not even going to be anywhere near that tower because if something shifts in that tower, it's coming down. And we think of our lives sometimes, and we think of all the things that we want to do and all the gifts. Maybe you know the gifts and the talents that God has placed in your life. But I think we should show caution to an area of our life that if it's giftings and talent that opens doors for you, does your character keep those doors open? Is what's on the inside going to hold you to those things? Because charisma, talent, giftings, all of those things can open amazing doors, but will your character keep you there? Do we spend more time building what people see on the outside than who God really wants us to be on the inside? And just like any structure that you would step into, move into, to live in, or to work in, you would want to know that the foundation of that place is solid. We put all of this time, energy, resources, all of these things into building huge monuments, right? Building huge structures, just like the Dubai Creek Tower or the Burj Khalifa. But it's the foundation that had to be laid first in order to sustain the success of those structures. And I think what we can often do is abandon the discipline to really build our own foundation to make sure that what's on the inside is going to sustain what's on the outside. And so I want to throw out two words for you real quick. These are words that many of you in the room have probably heard. I grew up hearing these words. I thought they were kind of synonyms. I thought they were interchangeable. They are not. They hold hands. They work together, but they are two different things. The first word is doctrine. The second word is theology. Anyone ever heard those two words? Right? All right, you've heard doctrine earlier. Pastor Gilbert actually read it in the scripture. So doctrine, I'm going to give you quick definitions, is something taught. Doctrine is something taught, teaching, a word, discourse, something taught. So doctrine is something taught, and theology is the study of God. Where doctrine is something taught, theology is the study of God. You've heard of theologians. Are there any theologians in the room? Yeah, okay. Many of you would say, I'm not a theologian. I would actually challenge that, because if theology is the study of God, if we are Christ followers, we should be studying God. You may not realize you're a theologian. You may be a bad theologian, but as Christians, we're called to study the Word of God. All right, so what I'm going to do real quick is I'm going to read straight out of that book that I referenced, The Foundations of Christian Doctrine, because it's just so, so, so rich. It says here, truth is ever progressive. We could pause right there. Truth is ever progressive. It's always moving forward. It's always there. It's never changed. It's never moving, regardless of culture or circumstances, ideologies, philosophies. All of those things can change, but truth is ever progressive. It's unchanging. So truth is ever progressive. Of course, it is recognized that God will never reveal anything outside of or contrary to his word, but he will continually shine light upon the word he has given, further clarifying its meaning. Today, there is a great attack on sound doctrine. What is doctrine again? Teaching. Very good. All right. Today, there is a great attack on sound doctrine, sound teaching. There is a turning away from doctrinal matters and a turning to the philosophies of men and women and doctrines of devils. In an age of relativism, that word, like people say, oh, truth is relative, right? You have your truth, I have my truth. That takes away the power of truth. If it's just based upon whatever you feel, my feelings change about 6,332 times a day. I'm glad truth is not based on my feelings. So truth is progressive. And in an age of relativism in which there appears to be no absolutes, it is vital to know that God has absolutes. God, his word, his truth, and his law stand out as eternal absolutes, unchanged and unchanging, forever reliable. All believers need to know three things. This is critically important for you. All believers need to know three things. Those three things are who they believe, what they believe, and why they believe it. Who they believe, what they believe, and why they believe it. All religions, whether they be true or false, all cults, all isms, and ideologies are founded on various doctrines, teachings. And these teachings received, believed, obeyed, and continually practiced will determine three things. I'm going to reread that because that was a deep statement. All religions, whether true or false, all cults, all isms, all ideologies are founded on various teachings. And these teachings received, believed, obeyed, and continually practiced will determine three things. There's no escaping this. Your teaching and what you believe is going to determine three things. First one is your character, and that is what you are. Your character, what you are. The second thing it determines is behavior, what you do. And the third thing teaching determines is destiny, and that is where you go. So teaching, what we believe, what we practice, what we obey is going to determine your character, who you are, behavior, what you do, and destiny, where you go. I'm going to give you a power punch statement right here. It says, strong character is determined by strong beliefs. Woo, chew on that for a while. Strong character, in other words, who you are when nobody's watching, yikes. Strong character is determined by strong beliefs. And clearly defined doctrine makes for clear-cut convictions. What a person believes is either molded by the vain philosophies of men or the inspired word of God. Strong beliefs and clearly defined doctrines makes for clear-cut convictions. What a person believes is either molded by the vain philosophies of men or the inspired word of God. Hence, it is absolutely necessary to be founded on the doctrine of Christ. Who is it on the inside of you? What's been built on the inside? Is it sustainable? Or is your identity based on a philosophy of what somebody said about you, a lie that was spoken over you, a feeling that you felt that you ran with, what the world says? Now, I'm not against philosophy. I'm not against any of those things. I think God uses all of that. But when we base our identity off of what the world says and our limited knowing, it says that God's ways are higher than ours. If his ways are higher than ours, how deep must his foundation go? If his ways are higher than ours, how deep does the foundation of truth, who God is, really go? But see, we can base our life off of what we learn and what culture tells us. And the scary thing about that is all of that can change. Can you imagine the people in the past that based their life thinking that the world really was flat? Everything that they knew about the world was flat, and then they realized it was actually round? That's why there's different textbooks and there's different things that get science change. All of the things change because they go back and say, you know what, we missed that one. But who doesn't change, what doesn't change, is God and the truth of his word. And so when you place your identity in who you are and you build your life off of who he's called you to be and what he says about you and what he's done and who he is, your foundation is built even stronger than what you would have seen in that video. What a powerful God. What a way maker that we worship. I was thinking during the first service when we were singing that song, I'm like, I just imagine, you know what? God has seen every foundation that's ever been laid on this earth. Do you know who he is? He holds the world. His word spoke and atoms were created. Right? The world began to stir. The molecules started to stir and life as we know it. He's the foundation of every foundation. This is why he cannot be changed. This is when he spoke it, his word is so true, he can literally not go back and take his word back because it's that powerful. So when you build your life in who you are, not just what you do, on who he is, what you do will become more of what he is. I couldn't re-say that if I wanted to. You should listen to the podcast if you need that repeated. But when we build our life on who he is, his foundation, when we care more about what's going on the inside of us than what people see on the outside begins to reflect what's really going on the inside. I'm telling you, if you can change your belief system, it is a game changer for your life. Let me keep reading. I'm running short on time this morning. It says, doctrine determines character. What a person believes greatly affects what they are. Believing, somebody say believing, affects being. All right, so believing affects being, and being affects doing. If we follow sound doctrine, it will bring about development of the divine nature and character of Christ that is already within us. Believing affects being, and being affects doing. Here's the problem. We get it twisted when we focus so much on what we're going to do and we forsake who we're supposed to be. Before we're ever supposed to do anything, we're supposed to be somebody. And I would imagine if I went around the room this morning that if I asked you that same question, what did you want to do when you grew up? Like, who did you want to become, right? I highly doubt anybody in the room when you were in fifth grade, you were like, you know what? I can't wait to grow up and be the biggest cheater in the world. I hope I become a liar. I hope I'm lazy. I hope I get fired from all of my jobs because I can't, you know, really like show up to work and be responsible. I hope I get caught up and I can't get along with my wife and I ruin my marriage. I hope I walk out on everybody. No. I would hope nobody would say those things. And hear me, there's grace. If you've made those decisions, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have made mistakes. All of us have royally messed up. But let me shed some light on, even in the times that you fail and you miss the mark, when your character and your identity is based on God, the bounce back, the recovery is so much smoother, so much more graceful. But we often forget about who God's called us to be, and we don't base our lives off the truth of His word. And so we try to build these things, and we go after these dreams, and after urges, and after desires, and after whatever it is. And if on the inside we haven't been built on a foundation, then it's like that verse that we heard. Everything, when the wind blows, when the storms come, you will be shaken. I want to reread as I close Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, now that we have a little why behind the what this morning. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is unchanging. He is unmoved. He will never fail you. What He said about you has not changed. His love for you cannot erase it. Matthew chapter 7 again said, these words I speak to you, they are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build your life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. This morning, in closing, the question that I want all of us to ask ourselves today, to evaluate, to take inventory within all of our hearts, is, do you know who you believe? Do you know who you believe? Do you know what you believe? And do you know why you believe it? Good or bad, true or false? Do you know who you believe? Do you know what you believe? And do you know why you believe it? Because, family, I want to tell you that even if you're still trying to work some of those answers out, even if you're still trying to discover who God's called you to be or what He says about you, in the process, your character, your behavior, and your destiny are being determined. Even in the process, that's why it's so important to jump in. Don't wait till Sunday to get in the Word of God. And I'm glad we're gathered together, and this is such a strong thing to come together. And we're not going to have all the answers figured out on this side of heaven. But when we put off the discipline of getting to know God, when we put off being taught who God is with sound doctrine, going to the Word of God as the source, commentaries are amazing, preaching is great, some of it, right? Some preachers, I'm like, yeah, because I don't ever want to listen to that theology or doctrine again. Blogs and books that are written, that's all amazing, and that should sharpen us, and it should fill us up. But if it is not... those things themselves aren't based on the true Word of God, it's affecting you. Sound doctrine. The Word of God, not taking and moving, adding or subtracting, saying, you know what, God, I don't even understand why this says this, but if it's in here, I'm going to trust your Holy Spirit. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to begin to work it into my life, and where I don't understand it, He will make a way and He will communicate it. He knows your mind more than you do. He knows how to set up an illustration for you at work where you go, oh my gosh, I never knew. I never knew that's what that verse meant. I never knew that's how it applied to my life. I never knew the strength and obedience when I don't understand. But it's when we place our foundation, our decisions, our family, who we are, what we're going to do with our life, how we're going to think, when it's based on Him, it's stable. So who are you today? Who are you believing today? What are you believing today? And why? Where'd that thought come from? When we build our faith on His firm foundation, and we begin to look into the Word of God and say, okay, who is this God of the Scripture? When we begin to be curious and desire answers and we go to the truth, we begin to realize this is the God of the Scripture. This is why He's the way maker. This is why He's the healer. This is why He's the promise keeper. This is why He's the restorer. This is why He's the strengthener. He reunites. He brings things that are in disarray and brings order to chaos. This is the God that saw me when nobody else did and loved me through hell. This is the God that was kind to me when I was wayward. This is the God that went way beyond where I could ever go and paid a price that I could never pay because He loves me. This is the God that's still about miracles. This is the God that's still into raising the dead. This is the God that's still into restoring marriages. This is the God that's still into restoring your body. This is the God that's still restoring your mind. This is the God that ushers in peace in the midst of chaos, answers in the midst of confusion. This is the God that provides, that protects, that is all that you need. But it's not good enough for me to just get up here and passionately tell you about that. That's the God I know. Do you know Him? Because I won't be there necessarily when all chaos goes out in your life. But if your foundation is firm, you can bet that He will be there. You will hear Him. You will know what to do. What are His promises? Why does He reveal Himself to us? Do you ever think about that? The God of the universe actually wants to reveal Himself to you? To you in your stank attitude? My doubt? My unbelief? He said, you know, if you just give me a chance, I actually want you to know me. This is the God that we sing to. This is why we gather. Can we all just stand up today? And I'm done. Thank you. Today, is that Jimmy back there? Jimmy, can we put the salvation prayer up? Today, what I want us to do, this is a familiar prayer that we pray in this house, and there's no specific prayer. We place our faith in Jesus Christ. It says that in the Bible, that if we place our faith in Him and we call Him, we choose Him as Lord and Savior, we're saved. But this kind of puts a frame around that. And this morning, whether this is your first time to say, you know what, if this God is all that I just heard, if this God is everything that you all sang about, if this God, and maybe you didn't even intellectually go there, maybe you felt it. If there's something on the inside of you that says, if He's firm and He has a firm foundation, I need to set my feet upon that. I need to set my life and build my life upon that. If this is your first time praying this prayer, maybe you're wayward and you've walked away from the faith and you know that you need to get back to building a life on a firm foundation. Or perhaps today, sometimes I say this prayer just to remind my soul who's in control. So can we all pray this prayer today? If you want to place your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to pray it out loud with us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I know that I am a sinner, and I repent from my sins. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Today, I have been made new. From this day forward, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram or join us on Facebook. Thank you and have a blessed week.